Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Three wide receiver set for the 49ers.
It's George Kittle at the bottom.
Somehow the handoff into the arms of Mostert. He's gone. Touchdown, San Francisco.
There's the perimeter plays, man. That's something we couldn't stop. I know we should have fixed that on the sideline, but we didn't. You know, that was probably something we didn't do, but now we know. And as we go on to next year, we'll be able to fix these situations when we're in them.
Welcome back, Fox Sports. And also Za'Darius Smith, there you have it. Some of the comments as the Packers still reeling a little bit and trying to get over the loss in the NFC Championship game to the San Francisco 49ers, now looking for additional talent down at the Combine to bolster this team. Joining us from down in Indianapolis at the Combine, our good buddy Mike Clemens is along for the ride. Michael, how you doing, bud?
Got some pretty good, Bill. Got some snow down here. Got the players that are walking over to Lucas Oil. They start working on some of the workouts tomorrow night. The quarterbacks will be lifting the weights, followed by the offensive linemen. But, you know, interviewing these players and seeing the coaches and scouts walk in the hallways here at the Indiana Convention Center.
So I know Brian Gutekunst. Look, one of the things that Za'Darius Smith had said on our show was the fact that he thought the team wasn't prepared. And I even stopped him. I said, wait a minute, you're opening up a giant can of worms. And he went on to expound upon it that there were just some guys that – you know, probably weren't ready. He felt that the coaches did a great job with the X's and O's. It was them that you know, the players that didn't get the job done. So Brian Gutekunst, he kind of sloughed that off, didn't he?
Well, you know, the thing about it is, not only was Za'Darius Smith a great get as a player, but he turned out to be your team captain on defense. Maybe changed the culture in the locker room coming in from the Baltimore Ravens to the point where he put on that one barbecue after minicamp. And Aaron Rodgers went up and said, you know, we've never done this before. I mean, he's really become a vocal leader of the team and something Aaron needed some help with. And I'm sure you guys discussed that at Super Bowl. And so, you know, Gutekunst and LaFleur, they both need this guy to be on page with them. Now, LaFleur decided to continue with Mike Pettine because it sounded like those comments that Za'Darius made after the loss in the NFC Championship game, so maybe he was putting on the coaching and the game plan. LaFleur said he couldn't explain why some of his players weren't playing like, quote, they had their hair on fire. So we asked Brian Gutekunst about what he thought his reaction, Za'Darius saying these things to the media after losing 37-20 to the 49ers in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, I think everybody's frustrated after a game like that, and you're searching for answers, you know, and then over the last couple of months, you know, we've done that too, you know, looking at some things and why kind of that game went the way it went. But I understand where he's coming from, but I think I wouldn't read too much into that.
Yeah, I didn't read too much into it too when you got a chance to really listen to the explanation. Well, the other talk, and I like some of the stuff that you sent back. Both Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur were talking about Aaron Rodgers and going into this thing year two.
Well, it's a little confusing to me that a guy as smart as Aaron Rodgers, we're talking about him being better in year two of the offense. And, you know, this guy is a perfectionist, and you don't think he's going to want to go out there without doing things. But You talk to the general manager of the Packers, Brian Gutekunst, and he thinks that Aaron Rodgers could improve and could use that second year in LaFleur's offense, and he compared it to Matt Ryan's progress when he was in year two under Kyle Shanahan with the Falcons, and they went to the Super Bowl back in 2016.
I just think it's just, you know, making it more instinctual, you know, for him, so that each week, each game, it's not something that, you know, they're going through, where it's just something that our team as a whole kind of starts to understand exactly kind of the nuances that Matt wants, you know. And I think I've referenced Matt Ryan in year two when they were there, and I think just Matt and his staff having another year with our guys to develop them, kind of get them where, you know, further than where they were last year. So I think that's probably true just about, you know, any new staff. Obviously, we, you know, Matt had an excellent first year, but yeah, I'm really excited to just kind of see how our players react kind of when they know what's coming already.
So the quarterback rating thing, I heard that come out today. I mean, I know you guys talked to Matt LaFleur yesterday, but, you know, he's more about the eyeball, what's called, what Aaron did, what he didn't do, more so than just looking at the stats, right?
Well, people are trying to figure out why it wasn't a more explosive offense, particularly in the air last year. Was it the fact that, you know, the receivers? I mean, but Aaron Rodgers' numbers, I mean, they have, after a couple of broken collarbones, they haven't been the same in the last 3 years. And so one thing about Matt LaFleur, very much more at ease and in command going into his second year. He had a successful rookie year. He knows that part of the reasons he went 13-3 and got to the NFC Championship game is because Aaron Rodgers probably saved his bacon, making his own audibles and in-game calls and advice that maybe he gave LaFleur. So you see a closer alliance with LaFleur and Rodgers now than ever before. But LaFleur now knows, okay, I got most of my staff in place. I got a new secondary coach that's got more experience. We asked him, are you going to bring in a new receivers coach? And he said, yes. And are you looking for more experience? Because Alvin Whitted was not very experienced. He said, we've got plenty of experience. It's just got to be the right fit. So LaFleur is a little bit more confident, frankly, a little more cocky. So then the big question is, well, what about your quarterback, your $130 million quarterback? I mean, the quarterback rating is like in the low 90s or lower. It's not where it used to be. And here was LaFleur's response.
You know, at the end of the day, he was low 90s passer rating, low 60s for completion percentage, and it's not nearly to his standards.
Yeah, I don't. I'll be honest. The passing rating is the. I don't even look at that anymore because I think it's. I don't think it's a true indication of evaluating whether a quarterback played well or not. I really don't.
So, is it going to take to get Rodgers' numbers up in 2020? Is it going to take better weapons around him?
Again, I thought he played pretty damn good last year. He led us to 13 wins and a playoff win, and certainly there's areas for us all to improve upon. And it starts with me first, and then that's laying out a great plan for these guys and putting guys in position. Too many times the quarterback's going to accept all the blame when things don't go right, and they're going to get a lot of the praise when things do go right. It's just the nature of that position, and everybody's going to be critical of it, which is, that's fair. That's kind of, you know, that's what you sign up for when you get into this league.
Let's do this. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. Mike Clemens with us live down in Indianapolis and there for the Combine, the NFL Combine underway. We'll come back with more of Mike. Stay tuned. We got more of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Yeah, our guys got to know that we're going to be one of the hunted this year, and we're going to have to attack it with the right mindset. I don't worry about the expectations outside of our building. You know, we've got to kind of ignore that noise and just focus on our process. And first of all, this league is so competitive, and every year has its own set of challenges. And I think you just got to attack it one day at a time.
Welcome back. Those are the words of the head coach, Matt LaFleur, of your Green Bay Packers. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Team Hochberg. They're reminding you they really do. They want to pay you your rent or mortgage for an entire year, but they can't do it if you don't sign up. Go to ChicagoBlackhawks.com/TeamHochberg. That's ChicagoBlackhawks.com/TeamHochberg. And you could be a lucky renter or an owner and to get called down to, I shouldn't say, they get called down to the Chicago Blackhawks game, and you get to shoot the puck. And then if you put the puck in the net, then they will go ahead and pay either your rent or your mortgage for an entire year. Again, go to ChicagoBlackhawks.com/TeamHochberg, H-O-C-H-B-E-R-G, Team Hochberg. Or just call them 855-56-DAVID.com, 855-56-DAVID, 855-56-DAVID. And you can see what all they have going on. In addition to that, it's 56David.com. 56David.com. They have helped me out with my mortgage and refi. They've helped out many of you on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, but you can't do anything if you don't call. So call them. Again, 855-56-DAVID. That's 855-56-DAVID. Or visit them at 56David.com. Homeside Financial, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 1124061. Matt LaFleur, Mike Clemens, by the way, joining us down in Indianapolis. And Mike, Matt was asked about the play calls because apparently it got a little bit long in the long-winded this season, right?
Something Aaron Rodgers talked about, frankly complained about during training camp. You know, if you've watched Sean McVay's Rams or you watched Kyle Shanahan's 49ers, you know, a protege, if you will, of Sean McVay, you've seen every once in a while, when the Rams were hot and running into the Super Bowl last year, they might on a third down, they look like they're going to huddle, and all of a sudden the play is quickly called, like run up to the line like a fire drill and snap the ball. While the defense is left hanging, they're still trying to make a substitution. They haven't even made a call yet, and they've had a lot of success with that. Well, you saw Matt LaFleur running that in OTAs and mini camps and sometimes in training camp, but they got away from it. And when we covered Super Bowl in Miami last month, you're talking to Kyle Shanahan, you're talking to Jimmy Garoppolo about, you know, the big pressure, the big game. And Garoppolo said, you know, we've got to get our signals in there quickly because he said some of these play calls are really long. And it's like he was almost saying verbatim what Aaron Rodgers was. So this all goes back to the Kyle Shanahan playbook. Some of these play calls can get up to like 25 words. And timing is everything with that. And Matt LaFleur was asked, do you think that that's something you need to work on here in the offseason?
Yeah, it's not fun. You know, when I first got hired here, I went the year before when it was in Atlanta when the Rams played the Patriots because, you know, I'd worked so close with Sean and was there supporting him. And I'll never forget, I told my wife, I said, I'll never come back to another Super Bowl unless we're playing in it. And then here we are a year later, one game away from the Super Bowl, and you have your brother in the Super Bowl. And so between my wife and Mark Murphy, there's a lot of voices in my head telling me that I need to be there to support him. And so I did it, and you know, it was definitely, you know, there's nothing like being in that game. And I've had one experience myself being in that game, and we didn't come out on top. So that's always what you're striving for. That's what you're working for each and every day. And I don't think you'll ever be – I know I'll never be satisfied until we're holding that Lombardi trophy.
Was it the right thing to do, though? Do you feel it was the right thing to do?
Yeah, absolutely, especially with how that game went. And it was looking promising for the Niners there until the last 6 minutes of the game. And, you know, it's tough when you see somebody you care about so much. And, you know, he was hurting after the game, so it was good for me to be there to support him.
Speaking of hurting after the game, I mean, I know he was down in Miami watching, you know, the 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs go at it. You had to be hurting a little bit knowing you were only one game away, right?
Yeah, we got things a little bit mixed up there. That was his anecdote, and that's something that Matt hasn't done a lot of, that when his brother Mike, you know, the passing coordinator for the 49ers, was going to the game, you know, his wife Breanne, you know, even Mark Murphy, as he said there, said, you know, you got to go to the game. And he's like, well, you know, I went last year when the Rams played the Patriots in honor of Sean McVay, his old boss. And he sat there like, I'll never do this again. If I come to a Super Bowl, man, now that I'm a head coach, I want to be here, you know, coaching a team. I don't need to be here as a spectator. So we were talking about, you know, if LaFleur on his to-do list in the off season is trying to figure out to shorten the language, the verbiage of his offensive plays that they call in the huddle.
Yeah, no doubt. I think it's very different. I think a lot of it is our players. And I think they, you know, individually and collectively made a commitment to kind of put some things aside for the team. And I think that's what good teams do. And I was, like I think I said it before, I mean, that exceeded my expectations, you know. And I'm hopeful that that will really become part of our culture.
All right, that's Brian Gutekunst. When I talked to him about the fact that this team, this Packers team this past year, played together, and things that I saw in the locker room build, I don't know if I've ever seen. And it kind of started back to last summer when they had the joint practice with the Texans, which, by the way, LaFleur says they're going to do again. They're working on a deal with a team. He didn't want to reveal which one. But they had this joint practice session, and the Texans got a little bit, a little testy, and they were exchanging blows. And then this rookie, Lonnie Johnson, drills the rookie tight end, Jay Sternberger, over the middle. It was a hard hit, maybe a cheap shot, helmet to helmet. And David Bakhtiari and Corey Linsley, I mean, the entire right. Packers offensive line, and Davante Adams, they jumped into a training camp fight where they're on top of each other and throwing the haymakers. And afterwards, well, I talked to those guys, you know, in the locker room, and they're like, you do not go after one of our guys like that, man. There's a certain line. Everybody, the Texans know what this is supposed to be, and you don't take shots like that, particularly on our practice field. And they didn't expect it, but I had not seen – it brought that team together, Packers, at a new level. I think it was because it was unscripted. You know, they didn't expect it. Sometimes you see guys that have played hard in the game, and then they've come back to win, and they've pulled together, and they say those certain things. But this was such raw emotion, and that's when I thought, you know, LaFleur and some of these new free agents they brought in, they might have a new attitude. These guys are really looking out for each other, and I think that carried through the entire season. And so I talked to Gutekunst about that because you remember I played that clip a year ago before Mike McCarthy was fired. I said, here they just beat the 49ers and C.J. Beathard, you know, by 3 points. They narrowly beat what turned out to be like a 4-12 team because Garoppolo was injured for the year. And the team posted that post-locker room, quote, celebration, and it was flat. I mean, it was McCarthy said, all right, way to go, guys, way to win. And there's like just a little bit of cheers. And then I played tape of Sean McVay after the Rams had won like their seventh in a row, and it was like night and day, the energy of those locker rooms. Well, you know, within 6 weeks later, McCarthy ended up losing his job. That's the thing that Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur need to try and tap into year two with this group, is can they keep those guys playing for each other and that kind of energy? And that was Gutekunst saying there. Yeah, obviously that's something we need to accomplish in year two under Matt LaFleur.
Hey, I would love to see a buddy of mine just texted me, too. I know they don't come north very often, but how about a Packers-Cowboys camp, Michael?
Well, that would be fun.
That would be great to cover.
Yeah. We had a chance to talk to McCarthy. We got time to do that? We'll do that later.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and wrap it up with some of the stuff from Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy, by the way, I know, I saw the picture you took. How was that Dallas Cowboys kind of tracksuit that he was wearing?
I leaned over to one of the cameramen here from Milwaukee, and I said, you know, I had this weird dream that Mike McCarthy got fired, and I was in Indianapolis, and he was the new head coach of the Cowboys, and he goes, hey, I'll wake you up when it's over. I mean, it seems surreal. Yeah, it seems surreal.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Mike Clemens joining us down there at the Combine in Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Field. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends over there at Lake Country Doors. Don't forget about our buddy Sean, the whole service group over there. They're great people, great people. Ben and his staff do such a wonderful job. Call Ben, 262-751-2674, 262-751-2674. You can find them on Facebook, lakecountrygaragedoors.com as well. They are the top quality garage door company. They put you first, and they strive to provide the best solutions to the most competitive rates. They're great people. I've had them in my house a couple of times. They've done fantastic work both times. I trust them. I use them. 262-751-2674, Lake Country Doors, or go to lakecountrygaragedoors.com. Good, good stuff. Also, great people, JNLTire.com. They're serving Johnson Creek, Watertown, and the surrounding areas over 25 years. A lot of philanthropic work out there as well. They really believe in giving back. And Lyle and his staff, I can't say any more great things about them. I just can't. They're just good, good people. But if you are an over-the-road driver, listen up. Not only do they have a great selection of tires, but they are highly rated when it comes to trailer repair. So if you're on 94 right now out near Johnson Creek, you need to go in and get a look at. They can do it all. So if you're a soccer mom, a deer hunting dad, or the over-the-road driver, or anywhere in between, they not only want to earn your business, but they want to earn it to the point that you want to come back. And like I said, I can't say enough about Lyle and the owner and his staff. They're great people right off of 94 in Johnson Creek and in Watertown. Go to JNLTire.com. We'll wrap it up with Mike Clemens coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I thought I'd never say this, but it's good to see everybody here. I always looked at this day as Groundhog Day, but I no longer do. But no, it's great to be back. We're obviously this time of year gives us a chance to be around the draft prospects, but just excited to be here and to get the draft process started. So with that, I'll take your questions.
Well, how about that? He is back, Mike McCarthy. Back at the Combine.
Well, thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much. This portion brought to you by our friends at the Water Doctors. Go to H2Odoctors.com, and they have the Connecticut Water Softening System. Fantastic system. I highly, highly, highly recommend it if you're a water freak like I am, whether it's bathing in it or washing your clothes, but more so the taste of it. When it comes to water right out of the reverse osmosis, love this stuff. Go to H2Odoctors.com. That's H2Odoctors.com. Mike McCarthy is back. We got Mike Clemens down at the Combine, but Mike McCarthy is back at the Combine, Mike. And I guess it was a little Groundhog Day, just in a weird colored tracksuit, right?
Yeah, and the thing about Mike, we had a chance to talk to him quite a bit, just visiting, and then he did a bunch of network and stations that were down here, and I'm just like, who is this guy? Because Mike has never been necessarily aloof, but he never wanted to put himself out in front of players in Green Bay, and the fact is that Green Bay has got kind of a different attitude about the players. The front office, and self-promotion and all that. They're always, as they say, putting the players first. But, he's now working for Jerry Jones. He's now the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And I said to him today, do you realize that, life is going to change now media-wise? It's going to be totally different than what you're used to in Green Bay. And he said from the podium when I asked him this, he said, I still want to make it all about the players. I don't think people should be talking about the coaches. The players should get all the accolades, all the print, all the space in the papers and TV and radio because, this is their game. This is their story. But also, it's pretty good, though, to be a coach and you can fly into the radar. It's one way you can get 13 seasons.
Right.
to draw a check. Now, another thing that was stunning, though, about Mike McCarthy was, you remember, this guy, it was his calling card was being the play caller for 6 years with the Saints and then taking over as a head coach. And then he wanted to be more of an administrator, so he delegated play calling to Tom Clements. I think that he thought that maybe they had Clements and Aaron Rodgers had a pretty good working relationship. I think he was trying to do something to appease Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers then later would say that Clements was sometimes taking too much time to call the player to make the decision, and they went into a losing streak, and after about four or five games, McCarthy changed that. So today, they announced that Kellen Moore, 31 years old, who was Jason Garrett's young offensive coordinator last year, he will stay with the team, and he will be the Cowboys play caller, and McCarthy will just manage the games. Now, Mike McCarthy once said, I am never going to give up play calling again. And now he has, so we asked him, why are you giving up the play calling?
I have a new job, so I get to start over and take all those never again statements back. But, I think when you just look at the big picture, these decisions that I'm making, particularly early in my tenure, I've had a lot of time to think about it. I've had a chance to study the opportunities that were in front of me for quite some time. In Dallas was the one opportunity that was something I felt was important to keep the current offense in place because of the success that they've had in the past. You know, the productivity on offense is very high.
They went from 11th ranked offense to the number one offense in the NFL last year. They just, you know, they couldn't score when they needed to, and the defense lost too many games. And Jason Garrett, frankly, it just didn't seem like he had that team playing spirited, you know, down the end.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see Mike McCarthy trying not to be a play caller. You know what I mean?
Right. And so, you know, McCarthy's been home for the last year as the former head coach, the fired head coach, the ghost of the Packers. And so he was asked today during his press conferences how difficult, because, you know, when I talk to him, I know he must be flying a lot between Dallas and back to Green Bay, because he went to 4 high school basketball games in the last 3 days. So he's still seeing his kids as much as he can before he has to really get into it.
Right.
But he was asked, how difficult is it living in Green Bay the past year as the fired head coach of the Packers?
Difficult? I don't think it was difficult at all. I mean, I had to go to rehab every day next to, you know, I went to the Bell and Titleton Orthopedics. You know, it was right next door, so I got to see Lambeau probably 3 or 4 times a week. So I mean, it's part. I don't know. Do you live in Green Bay, Bill?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's kind of hard to go anywhere up right out seeing the stadium. So that's where my kids are born, and that's their hometown. And so really, the year off was very beneficial for us as a family.
What about being around the fans, you know, the Packers colors everywhere you are when you're driving through the streets of Green Bay?
Oh, no, I have great memories and positive thoughts about my time there. And I'm thankful for not only, you know, the opportunity to coach here, but the relationships that I will always have. You know, I have a lot of close friends that you know, still work for the Packers and you know, the community that we live in there, you know, that will always be part of our family.
Got some Wisconsin Badgers down there too, Mike, which it's good to see Mike McCarthy, but it's good to see some of the Badgers down there making a name for themselves as well.
Jonathan Taylor made a big splash today, just 21 years old, out of New Jersey. And he says that, you know, Corey Clement, a guy that we covered in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago when he scored that touchdown for the Eagles and then beat the Patriots, he says the reason he decided to go to Wisconsin was because of Corey Clement.
Well, that was one part. Corey Clement's from Glassboro, New Jersey, which is about 25, 30 minutes away from Salem, New Jersey. So going into high school games, watching him tear through South Jersey, seeing him go to Wisconsin, have success at the highest level of collegiate football, thinking, oh, he's from the same area as me. If he can do it, why can't I? That kind of put Wisconsin on the map. It had me following them. Once I found out Wisconsin was a top 20 academic institution, that kind of was a deal breaker for me, because I'm like, I get the best of both worlds. I'll be able to have, you know, an elite education as well as an elite athletic experience to be able to challenge and compete with guys around the country.
So how do you think, because now that they're getting a more emphasis back towards the running game, Mike, Jonathan Taylor obviously wants to show his wares, and he wants to perform well not only in the 40, but obviously, do you think he's a first-round type of guy?
The mock drafts have got him late first round, second round, because once again, everyone's going to want to get defensive linemen. They want to get pass rushers. But you know, here's a guy that was 6,000 yards in 3 years. That's the first player to ever actually do that. A Doak Walker Award winner. He was a, you know, Heisman finalist. I think one thing that teams would be looking for is, you know, he didn't do a lot of pass protecting. If he's going to Green Bay, you know, and playing for Matt LaFleur, you have to look for that. But, you know, the big thing they're talking about with Jonathan Taylor is his time in the 40. What's he looking to do in that this week?
Really trying my best to crack that 4.4. I'm going to make sure that, you know, show that I have that long-distance speed. I mean, I'm sure it shows up on film, but on film, usually when a bigger guy is fast, it kind of looks like he's really smooth, and it doesn't look like he's moving as fast, which makes sense in a deal, but, and you look at the film, I'm running away from people.
Mike, great stuff, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Bill.
There you have it. Mike Clemens down at the Combine down in Indianapolis. Time for us to go. Have a go.
$6.99 16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.